welcome to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another week of flipping the channels on the television that is the catalog of seminal indie rock band Pavement. Is it UHF? Was that the one with the round antenna? Was it Channel 29 out of Buffalo I used to watch all the time? You're goddamn right it was. You're goddamn right it was. They had better cartoons and better cereal commercials than I could have ever dreamed for. So there's that. My name is JD. I am uncool and underqualified to be doing what I'm doing, but here I am with the remote control in my hand. And, you know, our time is coming up on our mission, and that mission has been to explore the catalog. Now, this is where I have a bone to pick. You know, I have a bone to pick with the Conundrum Lads, and here it is. You know, every episode I say seminal indie rock band Pavement, and every episode they say prominent indie rock band Pavement. Is it seminal or is it prominent? See, to my ears, to my historical accountment, Pavement is seminal. They were there at the beginning, you know. They are indie rock seamen. And, you know, they attach to an ovum. And, well, I don't need to get into the rest. But you follow. A prominent band is one that is really well known. And, you know, you guys probably approach this from a different angle. You know, being in the UK where, like, I'll argue Pavement seems much more popular in the UK than certainly Canada. Not that they had trouble selling out two shows here. You know, more so than in the US, I think. I think there's pockets, you know, New York, California in particular, that, you know, really got on board. But, yeah, that's my bone. That's my bone that I'm picking with you folks. Like, my argument would be they should be more prominent. They should have been more prominent, you know? So that's my bone to pick. If you want to, if you want to switch it up and start saying seminal, I'd be all for it. I'd be all for that. So there's that. I've taken more drugs than I normally take. I took my after work little father's little helper, and but I got some news today, and my grandmother died. So I just needed to explore a little bit more in my head, and like eke out some of those memories that you know, have fallen to the wayside or have cobwebs on them. And what a shame that is, that you can get cobwebs inside your fucking head. Because you can. Because I'm telling you, I am dozy as all get out. And I just don't know what that's all about. So so there's that. I'm bummed. I'm pretty bummed. And she had a hell of a run. She was 96 years old. So, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, she lost a lot of prime years or anything like that. She had a hell of a run. Man, like, I honestly thought I was going to die before she did. You know, just seeing her. She still lived alone. She still lived in an apartment. I mean, she stopped driving 3 years ago. Like, she's one of those, like, who's just, you know, like a superstar until the end, you know? So, yeah, pour one out for Grandma Do when you get the chance. So on January 11th, Spiral told us that Pavement would be making some announcements, and their socials have been, you know, leaving breadcrumb trails all week long. And it's been excruciating to sort of follow along and go, like, fuck, we know what this is, but we just all want to know what this is. By the next time I speak with you, we'll know what it is if the prophecy of Spiral was foretold. And that should be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. This might even mean that I've got to get a record player. That's what this might mean. And you can tell how fucking uncool and underqualified I am because it just called it a record player and not a turntable, like a cool dude would say. A cool person would be like, this wax disc player or something like that. I don't know. I'm pretty high right now. I'm not going to lie to you. So it's tough to stay on course. And that's not fair because, you know, you got to stay on course. You got to stay on course. That's the facts. So January 11th, we should find out about Terror Twilight. Okay, I was not told anything. Here is my dream for tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow will be January 11th. So I'm recording this on the 10th right now. And this is when it'll come out on the 10th as well. Here's my dream. Vinyl reissues of the first four reissues. And the new Terror Twilight Farewell Horizon in a box. Boom. All five in a box set. So that's wish number one. Wish number two is on Farewell Horizon edition of Terror Twilight. I would want the Godrich sequence. I would want a separate disc with the Godrich sequence on it. So that would be something I would want. Of course, you know, remastered of the originals. I would want a live show from... Here's what I think. I mean, because even in 99, Pavement was bootlegged quite a bit. Maybe it would be cool to get a live show from 2010. Because not a lot of that stuff is floating. You know, it's... Well, yeah, I mean, you can get it. And it's easy to get. So maybe that wouldn't be the coolest thing. Maybe do we get the Matador 10th anniversary live set? Ooh, that would be interesting. Fuck. Yeah, that would be cool. So those are a couple of my wishes. Of course, any other B-sides that happen to be out there, but I mean, I guess they're not technically B-sides if they weren't released, so there's nothing of that ilk. I suspect we get a couple demos. Some of these songs would have been like a song like Carrot Rope, like what does that sound like when Steve brings it in, you know? That would be really fascinating to hear. And what else? Demos, anything Spiral that didn't come out at that time, that didn't make it to that demo disc, that would be something I would want to get my hands on. Because Spiral was firing on all cylinders. You know, you think of Bright in the Corners, and Painted Soldiers comes out around the same time. And then we heard those two demos on the Major Leagues EP, I believe. And they were both cracking. So, I don't know, man. Scott was bringing it at that time. So, yeah, I would want that too. So, fuck, I'm very excited. And I don't have money right now to shell out to buy anything. But I'm going to want to buy something tomorrow. Whether I have I don't have a CD player either. You know, as far as that goes, I don't know. Does the PS5 play CDs? Maybe it does. And if that's the case, then then I guess I have a CD player, which would be, that wouldn't be bad. Okay, so there's that. Today we are going to get into the second to last song on Terror Twilight. But first, In Your Heart, The Hex. This is from a live performance in 99. Where is it located? JD. Live on Reverb. Sorry, so it was on Reverb, which was the HBO show. So this is The Hex, live on Reverb, from 99, on Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast.
Going back to Terror Twilight again, very important album. Perhaps the centerpiece of the album doesn't come till song 10, and it's called The Hex. So 1, 2, 3, 4.
Capistrano, swallow answer to your inner voice, and please return. God, install that radar in your pointy little beak so it returns. Surgeons with their eyes set down attend to the torn up kid. Who salivates and reckons with all the sick things that she did. Astray. Pray their intuition is crashing into bodies in a perfect way.
Crowd.
hold up for a minute. I've got to pick my jaw up off the fucking floor. My face melted off listening to that song performed live. Wow. I know it was, pretty faithful to the original, but it was unleashed and raw at the same time. You know, the Godrich aesthetic being so lush and, you know, full sounding, and then to strip that down to, you know, the five members of Pavement on a stage. I don't know, man. I fucking dug it. There's something so menacing about that guitar line, and we'll get into the lyrics after we listen to the studio version, but let's just talk about the music right now, because there's something so menacing, you know, about the way it rolls. Through the intro and the first verse and the, you know, the pre-chorus. It's menacing, like I say. It's, you know, there's minor chords. Dark and foreboding, and I don't know, it sort of was creeping me out a little bit. Now I'm in a different place, but still, like, it was like, wow. And then coupled with the melody, and then coupled with the lyrics, which again we'll get into, just so great. And then the build up to the chorus is, you know, just euphoric. I love the dynamic, the loud, quiet dynamic, even though it's not traditional loud, quiet like we heard, earlier in that decade. There's still a really fucking great dynamic that you can see. You can almost visualize there being a pedal labeled fucking cool. And, you know, Steve just kicks that pedal and rolls into fucking cool, you know, and that's the chorus. But the whole shabam, the whole package of what that chorus is elevated, it's heightened, it's soaring, it's just really terrific. And I can't thank the band enough for making this song. And then you get to that wonderful solo. And, you know, it's Keith Richards, 1968 era solo, but it's fucking dynamite. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss for words. You know, it's really just a terrific song. And you heard off the top too, SM say, this is an important record, and he says it with this sort of smugness that is just incredible. You know, it's like, here they are out touring on this record, and for him to sort of be dismissive like that. On the other hand, maybe he was being sincere. Maybe he was being completely sincere. I don't know. Again, we would need Mark Edwards to probably investigate that more thoroughly than I'm prepared to do at this point as a podcast journalist. So I'll tell you, that's how I feel about this song. I think it's terrific. And if you have a real nice pair of headphones, put them on right now. Let's listen to the studio version. This is The Hex on Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast.
Capistana, swallow, answer to your inner voice, and please return. God, install that radar in your pointy little beak so you'd return. Surgeons with their eyes X'd out attend to the torn up kid. Who's
I could get lost in that in the space of that solo and outro. Really, really mystifying, and I can't stress enough how perfect that solo is for that song. It's just great, and then right into that outro, where you know sort of throw back to the verse, and cruelty free leather jacket looking fucking cool as all hell, you know? I don't know. I can tell you this. The lyrics to this song are terrific. They are spectacular, in fact. Right from the beginning, you know, right as soon as the song kicks in, we hear of this strange creature, the Capistrano Swallow. The Capistrano Swallow. So I had to, like, you know, Google that and just see if that came up, if that was a specific breed of swallow, or I wasn't familiar with the story. Now, if this is really common, then you're more than welcome to, you know, only buy me a half pint of beer when we meet. I didn't think this was common, and I thought it would be cool to share. So there is the miracle of the swallows of Capistrano. It takes place each year at the Mission San Juan Capistrano on March 19th, St. Joseph's Day. All the little birds wing their way back to the most famous mission in California. The village of San Juan Capistrano takes on a fiesta air, and the visitors from all parts of the world and all walks of life gather in great numbers to witness the miracle of the return of the swallows. Each year, the scout swallows precede the main flock by a few days, and it would seem to be their chief duty to clear the way for the main flock to arrive at the old mission of Capistrano. With the arrival of early dawn on St. Joseph's Day, the little birds begin to arrive and begin rebuilding their mud nests, which are clinging to the ruins of the old stone church of San Juan Capistrano. The arches of the two-story hut... By the way, am I saying Capistrano, like, really, like, super white? I feel like I am. I feel like I am, and there's people out there listening that just want to choke slam me. So I apologize to you all. But at any rate, the arches of the two-story high-vaulted chapel were left here and exposed as the roof collapsed during the earthquake of 1812. This chapel, said to be the largest and most ornate in any of the missions, now has a more humble destiny, that of housing the birds that St. Francis loved so well. After the summer spent with the shuttered walls of the old mission in San Juan Capistrano, dude, the swallows take flight again, and on the day of San Juan, October 23rd, they leave after circling the mission, bidding farewell to the jewel of all missions, San Juan Capistrano, California. Whoa, that's pretty fucked up. Never heard it, you know? I've never heard of that before. But then the lyrics to the whole first verse now are, you know, crystal clear. Capistrano Swallow, answer to your inner voice and please return. God installed that radar in your pointy little beak so that you'd return. Oh my goodness gracious. That's pretty cool. Okay. And then the second verse is a completely separate thought. And it talks about epileptic surgeons with their eyes X'd out. They attend to the torn up kid, salivate and reckon with all the sick things that you did. So I got nothing. I got nothing there. I got something holistically. Holistically, I feel like these are like just sort of daydream type thoughts that somebody's having. And then, you know, the chorus is like almost like the smash cut to the love interest, the girl or the guy. In this case, that's how I see it. I make a little music video in my head and I see that smash cut to a, you know, I don't know, for me it would be like that, you know, that perfect woman, right? My wife. So yeah, you know, like boom, to that, and that feeling that you have. And that's where the elevation and the elation comes in, you know, of that chorus. But, you know, that's just dilly-dally, right? That's all that is. Dilly frickin' dally. So then we go to the secondary stumbles caused the cadence of the count has led them astray. Pray their intuition leads them crashing into bodies in a perfect way. This is just fucking, again, just great. Like, you're describing, you're describing like an offside, you know? This is something that's just offside. And it's been turned into a poem, you know? And then you get that, and you get all of those done in, again, like sort of this melancholy, I don't know, a little bit freaky or frightening, you know, melody is coming, you know, menacing. Something's coming. That's how I feel. Like it's building. It's climbing toward me. It's, you know, yeah. So then we get another beautiful poem about architecture students, you know, and that's Sam, a topic that he goes to every once in a while is architecture. And, just this idea, this simile. Is this a simile? About architecture students being like virgins with an itch they can't scratch, because architecture students, you know, never build a building till you're 50. What kind of life is that? That's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. But again, it's a completely separate thought to my mind. Ultimately, only one person knows, and God willing, you know, if the mandate of this podcast is completed, then I hope he's never listened to an episode of me like trying to figure out lyrics, because that's just so, that's got to be so frustrating as somebody who writes lyrics. Like if you're wrong, you're dead fucking wrong. You know, if you're right, you are sort of looking at somebody's really personal work, and you know, that, what's that all about? Right. So yeah, I think that's another great piece of writing there. And then again, another one. This is just a moment in time, a stalled out on an escalator, wishing which way to return, up or down. And then it takes a dark turn, and it's my Palestinian nephew got his face blown off in a duty craft, in a dusty craft. Sorry for flubbing that last line. My Palestinian nephew got his face blown off in a dusty craft. Like, what? That's where your jaw hits the floor, you know? If you remember at the beginning of this segment, I needed to pick mine up. You know, I learned last week that Chumbawamba was a band for over 30 years and then broke with that song, Tub Thumpin'. And then we're only a band like after for like 10 years or something like that. It's like they were this band that like worked up to that song seemingly, and then, you know, broke up. Sort of a bummer. What kind of life is that? I'm bordering on verbal diarrhea at this point. So I will leave you by saying the Hex is another vote in favor of Terror Twilight being a really good record, a better record than we remember, and a better record than, you know, we treated it as when it came out. We had an expectation, and this record wasn't what most people were expecting, and so it was, you know, maligned in a way, and then coupled with the breakup of the band right after, you know, like I said, we never got. I ranted on an episode once about, you know, we never got the sixth record, and what would the sixth record be, right? That would be, you know, really fucking cool to just get a peek at what that sixth record would have been at that time. Man, would it have been, you know, the SM, like, would it have been the SM show, like Terror Twilight was, you know, with all the writing he was doing? He was pretty prolific at that time, because the Stephen Malcolm's solo record, like the first record, came out, you know, not that long after. You know, so yeah, I'm gonna leave you now, and I'm gonna bid you adieu, and I'm gonna say that we got one more of these. Stick around. Wash your hands.
Meeting Malcolm's, a Pavement podcast, is a weekly affair. Connect with JD at jd@meetingmalcolmus.com. Please support the pod by rating, reviewing, or sponsoring us at meetingmalcolmus.com. And hey, I'm social. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Meeting Malcolmus.